Greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome to continuation of our service this morning. Trust God will continue to minister to our hearts. I'm thankful this morning for that year of Jubilee, that Jesus is that year of Jubilee to us, where our sins are forgiven and our past can be wiped away. We can go free because of what he did for us. I praise the Lord for that. Let's stand together for a word of prayer again. Our Father, which art in heaven, we pause before you this morning, Lord. We need you. We pray that your presence will be in our midst and that your spirit would minister to each of our hearts this morning as we wait before you. I pray, Father, that you would just give us grace and peace to share your word, that your name be glorified, that your purpose be accomplished here in the church in this day and age that we are living. We love you and bless you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This morning, I want to talk about something that's been on my heart of late. And as I've been studying it, I find out that it's a very familiar portion of Scripture that I have in mind. That I've been meditating upon. The Jews call it the Shema. I don't know if you know, anybody know what the Shema is? The Shema is a prayer that the Jews pray every morning and every evening. It's in this portion of scripture that I have is included in what they call the Shema. Something that God taught them in Deuteronomy. Jesus taught it in the New Testament. Paul taught it, John taught it, the disciples taught it throughout the letters. Something very common, very, 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 a very familiar thought throughout the scripture. But it's something that when you meditate and you consider these verses, it is very, very, very much impact on our walk with God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 is where I'll read to you what they call the Shema. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them up for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets before thy eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Blessed be God's name and glorious kingdom forever and ever." This is a command that God gave to the children of Israel, that they would love the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength. In the New Testament, here it says with all their might. In the New Testament it says, "And one of the scribes came, having heard him reasoning together and perceiving that they had answered them well. And he asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is likened to it, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than these." I guess I've been trying to wrap my brain around this thought of loving God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, and all of my strength. It's something that it seems like it's just out of my reach to get a hold of it. How do I love God? How do you love God? Do you love God that way? Are we able to love God that way? To love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, with all of our strength, all of our mind, is a big assignment. It is not a small assignment. I think I've read this verse many, many times, and if you think about loving, sounds like something that would be easy to do. Simply love God and love people. That sounds very simple and very easy. Sounds like a very easy assignment. But when it says, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength, it doesn't leave much room for self. It doesn't leave much room for sin. It doesn't leave any room for the flesh and the world. It's a very high calling of God. So we want to look a little bit about this thought of loving God in this way. Is it possible for us to love God this way? Do we love God this way? How can we? We know that Jesus, I believe Jesus was that perfect one. I believe he is the one example of one who loved God in perfection. I believe he loved God in this way. I believe since the fall of man, Jesus is the one person that knows what it is to love God perfectly and completely in this way. He showed that love by doing those things that pleased the Father. His life, his entire life was focused on pleasing the Father. And his works that he did, the life that he lived, it was completely from the motivation of pleasing his Father, doing those things that pleased the Father in John 8:29. This commandment it's concerning the heart, the soul, and the mind, and the strength. And I guess my concern this morning is, you know, we can have a lot of information in our mind, and we can know what needs to be done. We can know what's right and what's wrong. And we can live our life under the control of our intellect and do those things that we know need to be done. But I believe God is calling us to a higher calling when he calls us to love him with our heart and with our soul. It's something, it's deeper. It's something, it's more than just knowing what to do and how to do it. But it's a matter of having that motivation deep within our heart, that our complete will is surrendered over to God, that our life is surrendered to God in such a way that our innermost being is pursuing God with all of our heart, and the things that we do, the life that we live, comes out of the innermost desires and passions of our heart, rather than only the intellect, but that comes from the innermost desires and passions of man. The heart, I believe, is talking about the innermost, the will and desires of man. In Proverbs it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I believe the innermost part of our being is where the fruits of our life come from. The things that we do, the actions that we have, the words that we say, the life that we live, are as a result of things that are abiding deep in our heart. If there's bitterness and anger in our heart, our life will express those kind of things. It will bring forth those kind of things will come forth out of our heart. But if we have love, compassion, and peace, and the presence of God in our heart, then it can come forth through our being, and it can motivate, it can be the motivation of our life to bring forth fruits that bring glory to God. Our thoughts and actions and our affections are rooted in the depths of our heart. And it's my cry this morning, it's my desire that my life is not superficial, just something on the outside, but it's something that comes from deep within my heart. And that only comes as the Holy Spirit comes into our heart as we repent and be converted and have the power of God within our life. There's no possibility for a human being to accomplish, to experience that kind of thing any other way. But through repentance and conversion and through the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, that we can have that kind of a heart that loves God and that seeks after God and desires God and desires to bring glory to God and to serve God, to obey God, to please God. That kind of a heart only comes through conversion, repentance, and transformation of the Holy Spirit in our life. So that's my cry this morning, that we experience the reality of Him in our depths, that our life is in tune with Him. The soul is not much different than the heart, but one writer said that the soul, man, is more the area of the emotions of our heart, of our being, is more the emotional seat of our affections. In our devotion to God, the soul is responsible for the highest spiritual exercises. It's the seat of our emotional activity. Jesus, at his lowest emotional point in life in the garden, when he prayed these words, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful." Remember how Jesus was in the garden when he was at one of his lowest points in life. He said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful." The soul expresses the joys and sorrows that accompany the life of faith in Jesus. Therefore, we could say that the heart expresses the will and desires, while the soul expresses the emotions of our being. And it's whenever these things, whenever the heart and the soul are in tune with God, that God can be glorified, and our heart can bring forth fruits that are pleasing to God. I believe it's the heart and the soul, whenever it's in tune with the will and the mind, the will and the mind and the emotions are in accord with the will of God, is when the blessing can be upon our life and when we can experience that true love of God that God wants us to experience. So that's my desire this morning, that we experience His reality in our life from the depths of our soul and from the depths of our heart. And the mind is, to love God with our mind involves the seed of our intellectual life. And we love God, we do those things that we know please Him. However, as long as we're in our bodies, we will always find that there are more things that we need to learn to know about pleasing Him. So we must admit that we are finite. We are not perfect in our knowledge, in our learning. There's always going to be more to learn. We will not come to the place of perfection in our mind, but we do. The thing that challenges me concerning loving God with all of our mind, how can we love God with all of our mind If we feed trash into it, how can we love God with all of our mind if our mind is feeding on garbage? Things that we see and things that we allow into our mind, if we don't guard our mind and protect it from the devil's influences around us, we're not going to have that love for God that we're talking about here. I find that to be a tremendous challenge in the day that we're living. There are so many things to distract us and to draw us away and to take the place of God in our life. There are so many the billboards along the roads and the things, the advertisements and things on the smartphones and or all the things that want to be penetrating our minds every day. Things that are out there just bombarding us that are not conducive to the love of God and to purity and holiness. I believe that for myself, I find a great challenge to keep my mind and my heart stayed upon Him. Fill it with His promises and with His blessings and with His purposes, and not allow Satan to bombard us and to take the place of those things that God wants us. It seems like that's where the battle takes place here in the world today. The battle that we are in takes place in the realm of the mind. It is a constant battle that we face because there's so much stirring, there's so much going, there's so much that we can fill our minds with, there's so much that we can think about. We can become very discouraged, we can become very fearful by reading the news and reading all the things that are happening in the world today, the things in the government, things in the wars and the fightings and many things that are happening in the world today could cause us a lot of fear and distress. And that is not conducive to the love of God and to the faith and courage that we have, the faith and confidence that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. It does not minister peace to us. It does not minister joy. It does not minister love in our hearts. So I challenge us this morning that we guard our lives, we guard our minds, our thoughts, that we learn what it is to love God with all of our mind, with all of our mind. It's something that is there. That's the area where I find it to be out of my reach, hard to get a hold of. But it's my desire, it's my passion, it's my love, it's my goal, my desire to experience that reality of Christ being in control of my life, my heart, my soul, and my mind. And it talks about, and the strength. The strength that talk, I like what I read where it says when the heart and the soul and the mind are in lined up with God's heart, then the strength is when our life is engaged in that mode. I think of, I remember years ago, Abner preached a message one time about the combine. How that you can have it completely, you can have it in good shape, you can have it greased, you can have it prepared, you can have it, everything repaired and in position to do a lot of work. But as long as it's not engaged, it's not gonna do anything. And I think that's what I see here in the strength of our loving God. It's the engagement of that heart, when the heart and the soul and the mind are in tune with God and our life is engaged in the work that He gives us. And we are engaged in loving our brother and ministering to the needs around us and reaching out where we can to touch lives and to be used of God, to be vessels in God's hand, engaged in the work that God gives us. I believe this is loving God with all of our strength. You know, we can have our heart can be right, our soul can be right, our mind can be right. But God wants us to be engaged. He wants us to put those things into gear so that they can produce fruits for His glory and for His purpose. That's the challenge I see. To love God with all of our strength is being together with all three of these as one. The heart, the soul, and the mind. Three parts of man that cannot be divided. As God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's something to, it's not something that they're different parts of us, but they are a little like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When the one, they are one and yet they are three. And they are three in one. As man is heart, soul, and mind, these are the one entire, being that loves God with all that we are. We find a life of love and submission to the Heavenly Father, just as God's power in His love and His wisdom and His knowledge. So our heart is our soul, is our mind, is our strength. It is a whole being that God desires. Thus the word all is used four times in this verse. The word all, where it talks about the all. All heart, all our strength, all our mind, and all our soul. The word all, that's a word that always, sort of hard for me to get a hold of too. The word all. When it's all, that means complete. That means there's nothing lacking. And that's where I find myself, hard to comprehend. That we can ever get to that point, that we can be have that kind of love. But I like what I read, that, you know, Jesus is the one that did that for us. Jesus is the one that accomplished that. He is the one who loved God with all his heart, with all his soul, and all his strength, and all his mind in a complete and perfect way. So that as we enter into him, and as we become one with him, we experience the fulfillment of his righteousness in us. His righteousness is perfected in us by faith. As we enter into him and experience his power and his presence in our life. Is it possible to love God this way? Loving God this way can be understood legalistically, or it can be understood evangelically. Legalistically, Christ is the only one that has been able to love God this way. There's none of us has ever been able to measure up to this in our life. He is the only one that's been able to love God in this way. He loved his Father perfectly in a way that we're not capable of as long as we are in this flesh. However, God, out of his love and his mercy in Christ, enables us to love God truly. Our only hope is in Jesus, who fulfilled this command perfectly for us, so that we do not need to stand before God undone. Because of our union with Jesus, God enables us to love him, though imperfectly, with all that we are. So God receives our love and receives, God is blessed to receive our love as we love him as we can, as we pour our heart to him, as we give our heart to him. God receives us on the merits of his Son, Jesus Christ. I'm glad this morning that it's not something that we have to accomplish through our own efforts and through the power, under the law, the legalistically, but because of the work on Calvary, because of Jesus, we enter into Him, we enter into rest, we enter into a peaceful relationship with God through the finished work of Jesus Christ, which is our only hope, which is our only hope for this, for loving God in the way that He's asking of us. John, in 1 John, talked much about love and how we should love. I want to read some in John. In 1 John, I think I'll begin and read some in John chapter 3. Some awesome verses here that John wrote here. I'm going to read some of these scriptures here. Now, it says, "And know that we have passed..." I'm going to read John chapter 4, verse 14. I'm going to begin. "We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, sheddeth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Yes, that fits well with our Sunday school lesson this morning. "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us not, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask of him, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." There again, we see that as Jesus did things that were pleasing to his Father, we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. "And this is a commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus, of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." Then we're going to drop down to 1 John 4, verse 6. It says, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us." Now I want to start in verse 4. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Here it talks about hearing God. I'm going to give you a little quiz. In the text that I read this morning about the first commandment, what was the first command that Jesus gave in that scripture? Anyone? Dorcas? Okay, that's what I expected you to say. The first thing he said was, "Hear, O Israel." Hear. Hear, O Israel. That's a command, to hear. And I believe that is something very critical. that we learn to hear the voice of God, that we know how to hear. Do you know how to hear the voice of God? Do you hear Him when He speaks to you? Do you know what He's saying? Do you hear Him? That's just something I thought about when I read over this here about hearing Him. That he started out by saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God." Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. That's beautiful. Love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath toward us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. There it is. There is how our love can be made perfect, by dwelling in God. There is no fear in love, but perfect. Okay, herein is our love made perfect, for we have, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. That is a beautiful promise. That's the only way I can see that we can comprehend, that we can experience, that we can attain that standard that God is asking of us. When we are in God and God is in us, and herein is our love made perfect, so that on the day of judgment we can stand before God with confidence, knowing that His righteousness is fulfilled in us by faith in Jesus Christ. It's not something we can accomplish, not something we can do in our strength. It's not something we can do legally. But by faith in Jesus Christ, we enter into God, and God enters into us, and we experience His righteousness, His perfection. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, "I love God," and hate his brother, he's a liar. He that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? This commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. I think I'll stop reading there. But that, I think it is so clear in here that the way to love God is by loving our brother and sister. We love God. We will love our brothers and sisters. We will love our fellow man. I believe this is God's... God is... God is, that's His goal for us today, that we love God by loving our brother and sister, by loving the children of God, by loving the people of God. God gave us this opportunity. He gave us this privilege to be a part of a family where we can be together and we can minister to each other and we can care about each other and be a blessing to one another. And as we do so, we are being a blessing to God. We are ministering to God. We are loving God by loving our brother and sister, by loving the people of God and caring, loving and caring for His work. As we dwell in Him and walk in Him and live in Him and love one another, let's be faithful and true. Continue in confidence before God, resting and trusting in Him, believing Him, knowing that as we live in Him, our love is perfected, that we can stand before God with confidence and courage. God bless you.